What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my co-host, David Drogemeyer. We are two writers who got our start at San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, and now we've been covering the Chargers for five seasons, and this is our third season as the host of the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys, well, we have a really exciting show for you guys today because we have a really exciting guest. Sports Illustrated's Jason Hirschhorn is going to come on the show today to talk all about all things Chargers, the latest news on Russell Okung, how the Chargers handled the Phillip Rivers situation, and also looking ahead to this weekend at the 2020 NFL Scouting Combine for the draft coming up here in April. So we talk about who the Chargers could be looking at the Combine as well. But first, we're going to start with the biggest news of the day because Russell Okung had something to say about the Chargers and their direction as a franchise. So we're going to start there because that is the biggest news of the day. So let's go ahead and get into it. One of the Chargers' biggest needs going into the 2020 offseason was on the offensive line. And this week, they're starting left tackle. And this week, starting left tackle Russell Okung said that he's uncertain on his future with the team. This is Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. On Thursday, ESPN's Josina Anderson said that a source told her that Chargers left tackle Russell Okung has expressed his uncertainty in the direction of the organization. While the team has attempted to reassure him, Okung remained skeptical of the team's direction and his future. The Chargers struggled on the offensive line over the past few seasons, and Eric Williams from ESPN said that Okung was a Pat Meyer guy, and Pat Meyer was the Chargers offensive line coach who went to Carolina, so there is something there, but he is also his own agent, David, and when you look at his numbers, he is going to be one of the biggest cap hits for the Chargers this season.
Yeah, no, he definitely is. I mean, he has a base salary of $13 million. His cap hit is $15.5 million. And according to SportTrack, if he were to be cut, that would leave a dead money around $2.5 million. So there's a lot of money wrapped into Russell Okung right now. And with him being on the last year of his deal, there is going to be some uncertainty on his behalf. He is his own agent. So, you know, he's going to have to put feelers out there to try to figure out what's going on and what his future is. And right now, there's not a lot of clarity on that.
There isn't. And there's one thing that I just want to clarify, and that's the fact that Russell Okung over the last few seasons has been the Chargers' best offensive lineman. So that's no small thing deciding on whether or not you're going to bring back basically the only consistent protector when he's healthy of Phillip Rivers at the blindside position, where the backup is Trey Pipkins, who was a third round pick in 2019, who in limited time this season looked very raw and very unready to take over as a blindside protector for whoever the quarterback is going to be for the Chargers, because it's hard to sell a free agent quarterback on the prospects of coming to the Chargers if your left tackle isn't there on an offensive line that was already struggling. And the one thing I do want to see disperse a little bit, David, is the fact that Russell Okung has been injury prone with his time for the Chargers. Obviously, he missed games last season due to a pulmonary embolism, which is just kind of a freak thing. But for the most part, with the Chargers, he's been good and he's been healthy.
Yeah, and not only with the Chargers. I mean, just the last three seasons before this year, Russell Okung only missed two games. I mean, he played 15 games the year before last year, 15 games the year before that, and 16 games when he was with the Broncos. So the fact that, you know, people are saying, oh, he's injury prone, that's just not true. It's just simply not true. He's been very healthy, and I think you can't hold a pulmonary embolism against him. That's not something that, like, you get injured when you're playing. I mean, that's just something that happens, and that's something that was extremely life-threatening, something that he didn't know that he was going to get through. That's something that shouldn't be held against him. And when you miss that much time and you miss training camp and stuff like that, it's hard for you to get back into the rhythm and be ready to go. And, you know, he had some nagging injuries that he had to deal with the rest of the season. But I think people need to back off that a little bit and, you know, kind of just look at the stats a little bit more. When Russell Okung is healthy and he's on the field, he's one of the best left tackles in the NFL.
And that's something that shouldn't go undervalued by any means. I mean, maybe you work out some sort of small-term extension to try to take down some of the cap hit on this season. There are other ways they could go about it, but this is not a good look for the Chargers, who are less than a month away from trying to recruit players to come to Los Angeles to play with Russell Okung and the rest of the Chargers. They could potentially draft Okung's successor with the sixth overall pick, but they also have a big hole at right tackle as well. And if you're trying to feel good about the offensive line going into 2020, it's a hard sell when the three main guys who got snaps last year still on the team without Okung would be Trey Pipkins, Trent Scott, and Sam Tevy, who have never had extended success on the NFL level. But we do have two more segments to get into because we have an interview with Sports Illustrated's Jason Hirschhorn. You're going to love what he has to say. He brought a lot of good insight to the show today. But first, I need to tell you guys about our favorite car dealership, and that's Metro Infinity, which is right off the 210 in Monrovia. And you have to check out their brand new multi-million dollar facility and see the amazing selection of new and used cars. They're the only dealer in California that is family owned, and they've been in business for over 25 years. They're the number one volume dealer in California. And one of my favorite parts about Metro Infinity is if you don't like going into the dealership, it's no problem at all. They will bring the new car and the paperwork to your home or office and complete the whole transaction there. Right now, you can even save some money since you are a fan of this show. If you go down there and tell them that Locked On Chargers sent you over there, they will give you an extra $500 off any car purchase. You can reach them at 626-599-7510 or at metroinfinity.com. If you are thinking about a new Infiniti or even in the market for any new car, please give them a chance to earn your business. Believe me, you won't regret it. All right, guys. Well, this is the moment that you've been waiting for, the one we've been talking about all week. Today, we have Jason Hirschhorn, who is an award-winning NFL writer who reports for the Chargers for Sports Illustrated. We're super excited to have him on today to talk about not just everything going on with the Chargers right now, but also the NFL scouting combine coming up this weekend. So, Jason, thanks a lot, man, for coming on. We're super excited to have you.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to it.
And it's perfect timing, too, because we got some big news today as we're recording this revolving around Russell Okung. ESPN's Josina Anderson reported that left tackle Russell Okung is skeptical of the team's direction and his future with the team. So this was kind of surprising news that came a little bit out of left field. What did you make of seeing that today?
I really want to couch this to say that while this certainly is a development, this is not something I think that anybody should assume is the end of Russell Okung's time in Los Angeles. Russell Okung is a very deep thinker, and I know that's come across in the way he's talked about the NFLPA and the CBA negotiations and his role within that and some of the things he's done in the past, even before he was with the Chargers. But he thinks about a lot of things very deeply, and a lot of things have changed in his life over the last 12 months. He had his first child. He was diagnosed with pulmonary embolism that, according to him, almost cost him his life. And he really looked at his, not just his football mortality, but his actual mortality. So him considering where his place is in the organization that is the Chargers is not actually that much of a surprise. That's something that he would probably do regardless of what the circumstances were, because that is the kind of person he is. Now, could this be the end of Russell Okung's time with the Chargers? Well, he has one of the biggest cap hits of any offensive tackle in the NFL in 2020. That's something the Chargers are cognizant of, even if they don't have a cap issue at the moment. And he's in the last year of his deal. So I think these are all natural questions to ask oneself. And given that Okung does not have an agent, he represents himself, he basically has to kind of do this sort of thing through the media. So I would say this is a development, but this is not necessarily something that, as of right now, is definitively the end or the beginning of the end of his time in Los Angeles.
Well, something that is been the end is kind of just been the biggest news to come out this offseason, and that's the Chargers and Philip Rivers mutually deciding to part ways. And they think that, and do you think that this is the right move? And do you think that they handled this situation gracefully?
To the degree that a team can handle the departure of a longtime starting quarterback gracefully, I actually think that they did. This is not Philip Rivers retiring. That's a totally different animal. You can have that, you know, press conference where he says goodbye to all of his teammates, all the fans, all the coaches, and do that whole thing. That's not the case with Rivers. He wants to continue playing. He's been emphatic about that point, really, the last month of the season to present. So I guess in that sense, you can't really have that sort of like closing ceremony on his time with the Chargers. That will happen. It'll happen after he retires, however many years down the line that is. So again, considering the circumstances, I don't think it was poorly handled by the Chargers. It may feel a little anticlimactic given what Rivers has meant to that organization. But realistically, I mean, there's not anything else that they could have done. Like, if and when Tom Brady leaves the Patriots this offseason, there's only so much they're going to be able to do, too. It might only be, you know, the 90-second clip on social media with a couple of statements from the owner and from the coach. I don't know if it's going to be that much more until after Tom Brady's career is actually over. So we look at it from that perspective. I guess it's kind of what had to happen.
One, I think I'm glad you said that, because with Chargers Twitter, everything is kind of like the sky is falling. So whether it's Okung or Philip Rivers, everything kind of seems like the end of the world. And what they've done in the past with other superstars, I think, played a lot into people's criticisms of what happened here. But one thing that you recently wrote about was Tom Brady and the Patriots at a contract standstill right now. And with the Chargers obviously having a huge void at quarterback, do you think it's realistic that the Chargers could actually attempt to add Tom Brady?
Realistic? Sure. I mean, Tom Brady has done everything in his power to position himself for free agency. And unlike other quarterbacks of his ilk who are going to be free agents this offseason, or at least don't have a contract in the 2020 season, so like Drew Brees, you know, Brees, when he decided he was coming back, announced that he was coming back to New Orleans. You have not seen that kind of thing from Brady. Now, that doesn't preclude him from returning to New England, but I think there's a reason why he's not doing that. He really wants to do that free agent tour, see what his options are, and then weigh those options. So could the Chargers make a run at him? Absolutely. I think the more pressing question, at least the more interesting question, is whether Tom Brady actually makes sense for the Chargers, because I think we've, over the last few years, really seen with Anthony Lynn, that coaching staff, they can definitely work with a quarterback that doesn't have a lot of mobility. They did it very well with Rivers in 2017 and especially 2018. But ideally, at least what they consider the ideal, I think they want a quarterback with more mobility. So when they talk about Tyrod Taylor being someone who can start for the team, I don't think that's just smoke. I think they would be comfortable with Tyrod Taylor as the starter in 2019. I think that's why they signed him to a two-year deal last offseason. And Brady, as I'm sure your listeners are aware, is not the most fleet-of-foot quarterback. So could they construct an offense that makes sense for Brady? Absolutely, they could. They have the weapons to do so, even if none of their free agents return. That includes Melvin Gordon. That includes Hunter Henry. I mean, Austin Eckler is technically a free agent, but he's a restricted one. I think we all assume he's going to be tendered at a high level and he's going to return, maybe even sign a multi-year deal. That's on the table for him as well. But if they are able to basically pick of all of the quarterbacks available this offseason, so all the free agents, all the players available in the draft, I think at least the coaching staff might lean more towards someone with more mobility, because there's so many more things that they can do in that offense when the quarterback can move.
With free agency approaching, then the Chargers are going to have a lot of competition re-signing Hunter Henry if they don't get that deal done before that actually starts. Like you mentioned, Austin Eckler, do you think they're going to be able to bring both of those back also? And Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon's made a lot of comments about wanting to, you know, at least return to the Chargers, although, you know, there's been a messy kind of situation with the holdout and all that. How do you think that's going to play out?
Well, you put a lot of names there. So let's start with Gordon first. So I think that he would enjoy being back with the Chargers based on his comments that he's made both on the record and off the record. But I also think that he understands that the best offer for him probably won't be coming from Los Angeles. You know, a lot of things can change. Maybe the way free agency plays out, if the Chargers were to lose Hunter Henry, maybe that frees up some more money. And then Tom Telesco, who drafted Melvin Gordon, traded up to do so, might be more motivated to up his offer. But I think right now the Chargers, while certainly would consider bringing back Melvin Gordon, are probably not going to make him the best offer. And therefore, I would say it's more likely Gordon is playing with another team in 2020. Now, with Hunter Henry, he's probably of their true free agents that they're willing to consider bringing back. So we're taking Phillip Rivers out of this. Probably their most attractive, because he's an unrestricted free agent. He plays a position that is more valuable now than it has been the last few years. And there's not a lot of options for that, both in free agency and the draft. It's really Hunter Henry, Austin Hooper, and then whoever you fancy the most in this particular rookie class. So there's options there, but not a lot of them. So Henry can realistically expect to push the top of the market for a tight end and maybe end up with the biggest contract of any of those players. Now, I think he would like to return to the Chargers. He seems to really enjoy it there. He has a lot of great connections with not even just his teammates generally, but with the tight end group there. During the season in the locker room, you'd really see them just during open locker room, all the tight ends would kind of group together, go over the game plan, go over some of the notes. Like, they're a really close-knit group, and I think Henry values that. And I think he likes the environment of Southern California, too. So I wouldn't be surprised. I would say it's more likely at this point that he's back than not, but he's going to have a lot of suitors out there. And then with Austin Eckler, because he's a restricted free agent, there's not really the same kind of market for him as there would be if he was like Melvin Gordon, just completely unrestricted. He is, I would say, their most overall versatile offensive player, at least their most versatile offensive skill position player. And there's so much of that offense that revolved around him in 2019. He was effectively the bell cow back during the first month of the season. And then when Gordon returned, even after that October where he and the rest of the running game struggled, they still found ways to get Austin Eckler on the field, whether it was playing him in the backfield with Melvin Gordon, playing him out at receiver, whether in the slot or on the boundary. They know they can move him around. There really is not a position other than maybe like tight end or the offensive line, or I guess quarterback, that he cannot play. And he understands that value, and the team understands that value, but because of the restricted free agent status, they don't have to sign him to an extension right now. So I think it's they're probably just going to put a first or second round tender on him and then kind of see what happens. Maybe another team makes him an offer and then they match it. It would be I think they'd be very hard pressed not to match an offer for Austin Eckler because of how much he means to that offense.
Absolutely. And that's great insight, especially with Hunter Henry and the rest of those tight ends. I haven't heard that. So that's nice to hear that, you know, he has a really good relationship with those guys, but all those guys will be, you know, top priority for the Chargers. But we do have this scouting combine coming up this weekend, and a lot of players the Chargers are going to be looking at very closely getting ready for the draft coming up here in April. And we have more of Jason Hirschhorn from Sports Illustrated on that coming up right after this. All right, guys, well, it's a pretty much draft season. I mean, everyone's doing their mocks and everything right now, and it's getting to be a really exciting time, and this is a really exciting time in the process because we have the 2020 draft combine coming up this weekend, and the Chargers are going to have to be looking at a lot of players. There's a lot of big decisions that are going to be made for the Chargers, at least on their thoughts on some of these players. So, Jason, you wrote recently about the Chargers continuing to be linked to Oregon quarterback Justin Herbert. He goes to them in a lot of mocks that I've seen pretty much everywhere. And with the combine happening this weekend, how do you think he can raise his stock with the team?
Well, to a certain degree, I think he's already done that with the Chargers or anybody else who might be interested in him because of how well he performed, not just in the game, mostly in the practices at the Senior Bowl. Mm-hmm. That was the first time that Herbert had been outside of that Oregon environment. And you would hear from a lot of scouts, and this is both, you know, something that had leaked out into the media and also just things you'd hear on the side, that he really is a different type of personality than what you typically get with a quarterback. That's not to say that it's a problematic personality, that he has some sort of off-the-field issue. That is not the case, at least not as far as I know. It's that he's just more of a soft-spoken guy and someone who you maybe would consider the personality type of like a tight end in most situations. He's not very loud. But the impression that I got from the people who were at the Senior Bowl in Mobile is that he really took up the leadership mantle, that he was very assertive in the huddle and in practice, and he showed to the evaluators that were there that he can be that kind of person if they need him to be, that he can, you know, both give them what they need physically, because we know that he's one of the most toolsy quarterback prospects in this draft, and one of the more toolsy quarterback prospects in recent years, but they can also be more of that assertive personality type that I think a lot of teams really look for in that position. So at the combine, it's really just about confirming what he's already done this offseason. It's, you know, running the drills to the degree that it really matters for a quarterback. You know, he doesn't need to have like a 4.4 40 time or anything like that, but showing that he has more than just functional mobility, shows that he can throw on the run during the throwing drills, assuming that he participates, and then those interview processes and the medical evaluation, those are going to be the big things for him. And as long as those things check out reasonably well, I think you're looking at a guy who's going to go in the top 10.
Well, the Chargers are going to meet and interview a bunch of players at the combine. How important are these meetings to players like Jordan Love, who has to explain the 17 interceptions he had last year?
Well, first of all, keep in mind that whether it's the Chargers or another team, this will not be the first time in most instances that these teams have talked to Jordan Love or any of these quarterbacks. There are players who will be at the combine where the teams will, you know, have looked at them on tape, have an idea about them, but maybe they've not spoken to them extensively, and this will be their first more elongated exposure to them. For the most part, especially with quarterbacks, and especially with quarterbacks that are at least capable of going in the first round, these teams have spoken to them and have done so more than once. So it's going to be not necessarily about finding out who they are, because they already have somewhat of an idea. It's going to be about finding out more nuances of things that they may have seen in tape or things they might have heard from coaches. So I can't sit here and tell you that I know what those questions are going to be for Jordan Love, but I know the Chargers are going to go in there, along with every other team, prepared with a list of things they just want to hammer out and confirm.
Yeah, and I think the Jordan Love hype train is getting, you know, going pretty good right now. And Anthony Lynn's a guy who really wants to take care of the football. So, I mean, hopefully they can get that figured out. But the Chargers have been one of the most injured teams in the league for what feels like forever now. So how important do you think the scouting combine is for these teams and their medical staffs to go check out these players and make sure they're bringing in more durable guys?
Well, the medical checks for certain players will be extremely important. Now, you have Tua Tagovailoa, which is one of the many prospects, quarterback prospects, that's been attached to the Chargers. And that's going to be the most fascinating medical evaluation of them all, because he's almost certainly not going to get a full passing grade because not enough time has passed since he had his hip dislocation. But it's really a question of, do the teams feel confident based on his progress that he is going to be good to go at some point in 2020 and that, you know, can eventually have a normal football career? So that's going to be a big part of it. But also keep in mind, and this is both with Tua and other prospects, not even just quarterbacks, it's not only about the medical evaluation that's there in Indy. It's also about looking at what their injury history was in college. Players who get hurt in college tend to get hurt in the pros. And especially with a position like quarterback, especially with any first-round prospect, really, you need to know that you're going to get a, or at least have a reasonable shot at getting a decent ROI on that selection. So with Tua, it's not just the hip injury. It's the ankle injuries he had before that, because he had missed time with those in previous seasons. He's a guy who, you know, hasn't missed a ton of time until that hip injury, but has dealt with a lot of nagging issues that suggest that maybe more issues could be down the line, even independent of this hip thing. So I think those kind of issues, both with Tua and then with other prospects that may be looking at, are going to be big focuses for them. And then it comes down to not just the medical staff, but really the analytics department, who are going to look at those numbers, those injury numbers, and see how those project to the NFL.
And finally here, who are some other players that you expect the Chargers to be watching closely at the combine this weekend?
Basically any offensive lineman with a heartbeat. The Chargers offensive line is not as porous as I think its reputation is. Now, it's definitely had those injuries, and when those injuries have hit, obviously they've had issues. But when healthy, it hasn't actually been a bad unit. Russell Okung, and, you know, we have discussed him earlier. If he's there and he's healthy, which he wasn't really at any point last season because he was recovering from the pulmonary embolism even when he finally returned to the football field, and then he had a series of nagging issues later on. When he's right, he is a quality left tackle, and there's not a ton of those in the NFL. They have several quality interior offensive linemen, and while they're still figuring out things at right tackle, they spent a relatively early pick last year on Trey Pipkin, someone who they knew was going to be a project, ended up playing a little bit the first year, and even though he had certain snaps that were just, you know, total disasters for the offense, most of what he put on tape impressed the coaches, and Anthony Lynn and Tom Telesco both echoed that during their season-closing press conferences. They really like his potential with a full offseason in their system, and it's another year to physically develop coming out of, I believe it was South Dakota State. He, at least, they, or Sioux Falls, I forget. It was a smaller
school.
Sioux
Falls, yeah.
Thank you. That he is going to be able to contribute a lot more in 2020. So they need to add pieces, both in terms of the starters and for depth, because their most reliable offensive lineman, really the entire time he's been in Los Angeles, has been Michael Schofield, and he is a free agent. And he's one that, even though he's not a star offensive lineman, he's a guy who's shown that he can be a quality pass protector, a decent run blocker, and he does not miss games, and he really doesn't even miss snaps that often. So that's going to be intriguing to a lot of teams on the open market, and I think the Chargers sort of understand that some team that just is desperate for an offensive lineman, including perhaps the Chicago Bears, who I know might have interest in him because he's from Chicago and would fit in very well at right guard where they have an opening, that they just may not be able to compete with that kind of market. And if that's the case, bringing somebody in through the draft, whether it's an early pick in the first round or somewhere in the mid rounds where they actually have spent a fair amount of draft capital on offensive linemen, that might be the way that they go, which means evaluating a lot of players, because it's not just the top guys at tackle or the top guys at guard. It's evaluating guys at all levels of the draft.
Yeah, because if there's one thing that's important the Chargers should know by now, it's depth. But that's going to do it for us with Jason Hirschhorn from Sports Illustrated. He is one of the must follows for anybody who follows the Chargers, and he's going to be covering everything in the offseason pretty closely, so you're going to definitely want to follow him at @BY_JBH on Twitter. You have to do it, and he's going to continue to keep putting out some quality information on there. But thank you again, Jason, for coming on the show. We hope to have you on again soon.
Of course, and one final note, if anybody's interested in taco recommendations, mine are much better than Daniel Popper, so come to me first.
Wow, well, shots fired there. I mean, I'm down for any taco recommendations. Pretty much anyone who's a Chargers fan has to love tacos. I think it kind of comes with the landscape there, but thanks again, man. Appreciate you coming on. Well, that was a blast. I mean, Jason came in here and absolutely crushed it. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing how it plays out this weekend at the 2020 scouting combine. And I mean, Daniel Popper, you're gonna have to come defend yourself. I know that you fancy yourself as a taco expert, and I know you really care about your taco takes. Jason's over here saying that he has better taco takes than you, so you're definitely gonna have to come on. We're gonna have to have you on the show. For those who don't know, The Athletic's Daniel Popper, he's been on before. We're gonna have to bring him back because he's starting some things over here. Jason, I see what you're doing, man. But this is going to wrap things up for today's show. Thank you again to Jason for coming on the show. And once again, you can find him on Twitter @BY_JBH. Until next time, guys, make sure to follow us on Twitter as well at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing wherever you get your podcast from. You can find the Locked On Chargers podcast there. And also, if you guys want to get your voices on Monday's show for some voicemails, the number's 323-524-7924. Every Chargers voicemail gets on the show. We just had Nameless call in, so we're going to be getting to you, Nameless, on Monday. Thanks for doing that, but we'll talk to you guys next week. Until then, take it easy and go Bolts.